There's a news story that was told of a lady. Her name was Norina. She lived in southern Florida when Hurricane Andrew severely damaged her home. Now, Norina, she received an insurance settlement, and the repair on her house had begun. However, when the money ran out, so did the contractor, leaving Norina with an unfinished home with no electricity. Now, Norina, she lived in the dark in this unfinished home without any power for 15 years. She had no heat in her house when the winter chills would set in southern Florida. No air conditioning when the temperature climbed into the 90s with the humidity in the hundreds of percent. She did not have a single hot shower. With no money to finish the repairs, Norina, she got by with just a small lamp and a single burner. Now, acting on a tip one day, the mayor of the Miami-Dade area, he got involved. It took only a few hours of work for an electrical contractor named Kent Crook to finish the work and to return the power to Norina's house. Now, CBS News, it reported that Norina planned to let the water in her water heater get really, really hot and then take her first bubble bath in a decade and a half, 15 years. It's hard to describe having the electricity to have it switch on, Norina said. She told reporters, it's overwhelming. How many Christians have been living their entire lives without ever knowing what it is like to have the overwhelming power of the Holy Spirit operating within them? Today we're going to begin a series in the book of Acts. The book of Acts begins with the day of Pentecost, which occurred. And from that point on, the church is those who are born of and are filled with the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit, who empowers the church to demonstrate God's presence here on the earth and to do the works of Jesus throughout the world. Now, the Holy Spirit is just one part of God. And in an attempt to more fully explain the full person and the nature of God, the early church fathers, they began to talk about God in three persons. And that's where we got the doctrine of the Trinity. The Trinity is one of those distinct beliefs of the Christian faith. It's what sets us apart from other world religions. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 at verse 14, we see the role of each person within the Trinity. It says, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. You see, in God the Father, we experience love. In Jesus Christ, we experience grace and mercy. And in the Holy Spirit, we experience God's presence and His power. Now, when we come to faith, we do so in the knowledge of God the Father and His love that is poured out for us, and in God's Son, Jesus Christ, and His grace and His mercy in our lives. And that is where most Christians stay, because they seem to know very little about the Holy Spirit. Now, to learn about the Holy Spirit, you have to go to the writings of Luke, which include the Gospel of Luke, which we looked at a while back, and the book of Acts. These are the only two books in the New Testament that are written by a Gentile. Luke, he was a Greek doctor. He was one of Paul's most ardent followers. So as we continue our series in the book of Acts, if you have your Bibles, you want to open to Acts chapter 1, find a way to bookmark it because we'll be working our way through. We're going to begin at verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Now, in the book of Acts, Luke, I'm going to have trouble with that, if I think. In the book of Acts, Luke, he is writing to a man named Theophilus. Theophilus is a Roman official of some very high stature. And Luke is not just asking Theophilus to buy into the myth of the resurrection or the claims of Jesus as Messiah, but rather to consider the evidence. And as a result, Luke is concerned with the proofs of Jesus. And so Luke seeks to give an account of the evidence of Jesus' existence and of his identity. Now, the Gospel of Luke, it tells the story of the good news of Jesus, his life and his ministry here on earth. And the book of Acts, it tells the story of the Holy Spirit and the early church after Jesus was resurrected and after he has ascended into heaven. See, that's the thing that you need to understand about the book of Acts. It's not just the story of the church or of the apostles, but it is also the story of the Holy Spirit, who is one of the principal characters throughout the whole book. Now, there are several things we learn about receiving the Holy Spirit in today's scripture. First and foremost, realize that it is absolutely critical to in following Jesus Christ. In fact, the key sign of being a follower of Jesus is the Holy Spirit in your life. It is the Holy Spirit which makes us a witness of the good news of Jesus Christ. You see, before the disciples could ever go and carry out the ministry, the mission that Jesus has given to them, they must first wait to receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus told the disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5, says, on one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now in Greek, the word for Holy Spirit, it is breathe. And just as breathing is essential for your spiritual life, so the Holy Spirit is essential in your spiritual life. You cannot have a spiritual life apart from the Holy Spirit. Amen. Too many Christians, they concentrate only on knowledge about God or knowledge about Jesus by studying the scriptures. In fact, this was Jesus' criticism of the Pharisees. They studied the scriptures. They knew the scriptures, thinking that somehow they are going to find life in the scriptures. But life is not found in the scriptures. It is found in the Holy Spirit. Now the disciples, they had lived with Jesus for 3 years, day in and day out. Can you imagine a better learning experience than having personal instruction from Jesus himself, spending time with him? Can you imagine being an eyewitness to all of the miracles and all the things Jesus did traveling around with him for 3 years? But if that wasn't enough, then what is? The answer is the Holy Spirit. So you cannot live the Christian life and do the things of Jesus until you have received the Holy Spirit. Now also, in John chapter 3, Jesus has this interaction with Nicodemus. Maybe you remember Nicodemus. He came to Jesus at night. Jesus tells him that you cannot see the kingdom of God, let alone participate in it unless you have the Spirit. He says no one can enter into the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Do you realize that worship attendance, it does not get you there? Sunday school or a Bible study, it does not get you there. Only the indwelling of the Holy Spirit does that. Jesus actually says in John chapter 3 and verse 6, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Listen to this carefully. Because God is spirit, he does not speak simply to our ears, but rather to our spirit. Unless you are born of the Spirit, you cannot be in a relationship and continual communication with God. You can know God and you can know all about him. You can believe in God. You can even work for God. But you cannot communicate with him and keep that communication going. So how do you receive the Holy Spirit? Well, first you have to actively wait for the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize that sounds like an oxymoron to actively wait. See, Jesus tells the disciples to wait in Jerusalem for the Holy Spirit. Now, it's up to the disciples to carry on the ministry that Jesus has given to them. But there's only one problem. They don't have the power. They don't have the wisdom and the guidance of Jesus who has been with them this whole time. And so Jesus has them wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it's not a time of passive waiting, you know, just sitting there doing nothing, but it's a time of active waiting. So how do you actively wait? Well, first of all, you pray constantly. In Acts chapter 1 at verse 14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, this is on the 40th day. And then 10 days later will be the day of Pentecost. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. So do you realize that they have been together, they have been praying constantly for 10 days. What is the longest period of time that you have ever prayed for something? They prayed for 10 days together as a group. See, it really comes down to how badly do you want it? It's not a passive waiting, just sitting aside. It is active waiting, seeking God. Second thing in this active waiting is to study Scripture. It says that Peter stood up and he expounded on the Scriptures, which revealed that Judas's betrayal of Jesus, it had actually been foretold. Before, they must have been all confused at how Judas could have done such a thing. John MacArthur, he writes and he says, Peter used the most compelling proof, Scripture, to reassure the believers that Judas's defection and the choice of a replacement, they were both in God's purpose. And through the Scriptures, they began to make sense of what it is that God was doing in their midst. So if you have questions, if you're in need of guidance, if you're trying to figure out what it is that God wants for you to do, where he's leading you, turn to his word. Turn to the Scriptures that he has left here for us. Finally, in this actively waiting period, fast. Now, John Wesley, he was kind of the founder of the Methodist movement, which is part of the Holiness movement, which we are part of. And he believed that every Methodist should fast at least once a week. Fasting is good. The purpose of fasting is to not only deny yourself of food, but it is to use that time of preparation to seek God, to prepare yourself, to pursue God in the study of Scripture. See, this is actively waiting. Waiting and seeking, listening for God's voice, listening for the power and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. What it really comes down to is this. How badly do you want it? How much time and effort are you willing to invest in your relationship with God and in the seeking of his Holy Spirit? As we continue to look at the book of Acts, to see what it really means to live in the fullness of the Spirit. It really comes down to two things: desire and discipline. See, not everyone in the book of Acts receives the Spirit. In fact, there are some people in the book who are willing to pay for this power because they don't have the desire and or the discipline to pursue it. It's like some of us, we would love to play an instrument or to sing along with our worship team. When you listen to them, isn't it absolutely incredible? This time of worship that they lead us into, the level of singing and the way they play their instruments, you've got to realize they don't just show up a few minutes before the service and do what they do. They practice. They get together on Wednesday nights for an hour and they go over the music and try to get tempos right and make sure everything works and everything flows. They show up on Sunday mornings, even before Sunday school starts, an hour before Sunday school, to practice, to go over everything, to make sure everything works. See, they have the desire. They have the discipline to put in the work that it takes to sound that good and to be that way. See, that's the problem with too many Christians. We would like to have the Holy Spirit in our lives, but we don't really have the desire, which leads to the discipline to pursue it. You see, people, we will pray to God and ask for His blessing and His presence in our lives, but we don't yearn for it. We don't strive for it. It's all just lip service. Actively waiting for the Spirit to come. It's absolutely critical because Jesus said, don't think you can just go out into the world with knowledge, because knowledge is not going to cut it. Receiving the Holy Spirit is all about surrender. Listen to the promise again that Jesus gave them. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You see, here Jesus is connecting water and the Holy Spirit. Water signifies baptism, and baptism is a symbol of death and surrender. The word baptism in the Greek, it actually means to be buried. When you are immersed, you literally go down under the water as if you're going into a grave. And when you rise up, born again, showing the world what it is that God has done and making a commitment. So when you're baptized, you're literally dying to your old self, your former way of life, because you know that was not cutting it. That wasn't getting the job done. You're surrendering your life to God. But here's the thing. It's not just an act of dying one time. It is a continual thing. A continual surrendering of your will to the will of God. Continually putting to death my will, my values, my wants, my priorities. Surrendering to the will of God and allowing His Holy Spirit to move me, so that Christ can be seen through me. See, it's only when we're willing to die to self that the Holy Spirit can come in and live within us. It's having the Christ-like character within us, the Holy Spirit working and moving, having this love for others in our lives. See, the Holy Spirit, it must precede witness. In Acts chapter 1 at verse 6 through 8, it says, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. See, the power of the Holy Spirit, it must precede witness. And the problem with the church is that our witness, it actually gets ahead of the Holy Spirit. When we try to witness apart from the Holy Spirit, then it actually becomes a liability to the work of Jesus Christ. It explains a good deal of the powerlessness of the modern church. The poverty of our spiritual experiences in many churches and even in many Christian lives. You see, we don't wait for the Holy Spirit to lead us. We're not guided by the Holy Spirit. The reason that the church has such a bad rap in our society is that they've heard our words and they've seen our actions, but they do not see Christ in us. Our witness, what little there is, has actually gone and it's preceded the power of the Holy Spirit instead of letting the Spirit move us and to guide our words and our actions. Jesus, He is the revelation of God's love, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is the affirmation of God's love. Have you ever lit on fire a pile of charcoal briquettes? You know those little black briquettes, and you put them in a pile and you kind of light them? And they once they get going, they start to glow red and hot. Do you know what happens if you take one of those briquettes off that pile and set it aside? It starts to go out. It loses the flame. The redness goes out. It starts to cool off. The problem with most Christians is that we are too far removed from the Holy Spirit. Their life, their faith, their service, their witness is powerless because they are going cold or they have gone cold. And the only way that will ever change is if we actively wait for the Holy Spirit. And that would lead us to the discipline of prayer, Bible study, of fasting, and then surrendering our entire life, our entire beings to the will of God. So you really have two choices here. One is to go on continuing the life you have. The other is to experience the power of God through His Holy Spirit. Be willing to surrender all that you are, all that you have, to God and to His Spirit. The question is, how badly do you want it? How badly are you willing, or how willing are you to surrender to God?